Locked On Bears fans, another edition of the Chicago Bears podcast coming your way. Pat the Designer, Jason McKee in the building. Yeah, we're talking about it. We're talking about these Bears. It's what we do on the Chicago Bears podcast. And J-Mac had the best vantage point of the game. J-Mac,
all year,
have you recovered yet, brother? Have you recovered yet?
All year, man. Turf side seats, baby. I'm recovered. You know, I mean, it's painful, man. You know, it's Chicago sports. I know it's rough, guys. I feel your pain. You know, I'm just the biggest fan as all the Bears fans. I feel you guys, man. It's tough. And same thing every year, man. You know, we get all overly optimistic for the letdown. Yeah. And, you know, right now it's as bad as it can get. You know, hopefully it gets better, but I don't know. I don't see the light in the tunnel. You know, it's tough. It's tough for these guys. It's tough for these players as well. You know, they don't go into games, you know, wanting to lose. And I'm sure they never envisioned having an 8-game losing streak. They're trying to do their best. And it's just a lot of controversy. I mean, you got a coaching change. Look at Thomas Brown, too. I mean, you go from being the passing game coordinator to the offensive coordinator and to the head coach within like a month span. That's a lot, man. That's a lot. A lot of adjustment, a lot of changes. Guys looking for answers. you know, it's and they're not getting questions answered. Guys, you know, some guys playing well, some guys ain't playing well. Guys, you know, I don't know, it's a mess. Calling each other out, it's disaster right now. You know, we got to get it fixed somehow.
Yeah, we got to, and listen, we got to talk about it because I think that this is at a it's at a dangerous place right now with this locker room, especially moving forward. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page, leave a 5-star review. Y'all know what to do. Let's start it off here, J-Mac, because the topic has come up about Caleb Williams' body language recently after the Monday night game. Now, on the game, takes a shot, right? Gets hit. Uh-huh. I mean, Karan Amagaji needed help out there badly and was not able to help Caleb Williams out. Takes a bad shot. And on the sideline, the camera pans to him. You could see visibly in pain. As much as he's been hit this season, I would think that everybody would understand that he might be dealing with some pain. But we got some interesting comments from one Emmanuel Acho on the facility as he kind of basically said that Caleb Williams' body language was not only unacceptable on the field, but that it's irritating at this point. Let's take a listen.
Caleb, you're not a damsel. You're not in distress. We do not feel sorry for you. It is the National Football League. Caleb Williams' body language is starting to become not just concerning, but irritating.
Yeah.
The game of football, particularly when you're a rookie, you go from being a king in college to being a peasant. And I believe somebody needs to inform Caleb Williams that you are now the peasant of the National Football League. But it's as if Caleb Williams expects us to feel sorry for him.
Right.
Last night, during the game, yes, he took a hard hit. We've all taken hard hits before. Why are you sitting there laying on the bench like somebody gonna come pick you up? Nobody's coming to rescue you, Caleb Williams. Nobody is coming to rescue you. You are not a damsel and you are not in distress. You an NFL quarterback. If that would have been the isolated incident, Chase, I would not have been as perturbed. But y'all remember week 12 versus the Minnesota Vikings, game on the line in overtime? Caleb gets sacked, and because he tarried too long getting off the ground, delay of game. With the game on the line, y'all see the score 27-27. Okay, maybe he would have matured the next week. That's Thanksgiving. Because it took him too long to get off the ground, Eberflus has to burn a timeout. Then Eberflus ends up getting fired because he didn't use his last timeout. Then yesterday, Caleb, you're not a damsel. You're not in distress. We do not feel sorry for you. It is the National Football League. You're going to get hit hard. You have to get up. You got to play the next play. I, more than anything, feel like control what you can control. Do not let anything without a heartbeat beat you. And far too often, we see with this number one overall pick, what I still believe is a generational talent, we are seeing things without a heartbeat, like attitude, like toughness, like effort, like emotional maturation in the midst of war. Yeah. The football game beat him.
Now, when you hear that, J-Mac, I mean, listen, a lot said there. I think that you could look at those instances isolated and say, oh, yeah, I fully agree with you, Acho. He's got to be better than that. You got to get up quicker. But the one thing that I'll say to Emmanuel Acho, and not to discredit him, not to say that his career in the NFL, that he didn't take shots and take hits, but you never got up slow.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, you never took a shot that kept you down there a little bit longer than maybe your coach would have liked to. You never had to have an injury timeout called for you? Am I off base when those are the thoughts that come in my mind? I've never played the game. I'll default to you when you heard that. Is that where your mind went on that?
No, because I mean, it's I mean, some of the shots. Yeah, yes, we've all taken hits as former players, big hits, big shots, stuff like that. You know what I mean? But everybody deals with pain a different way. So you mean that the way he was getting hit, that pain was lingering. When he went on that sideline, that pain was lingering. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he was getting hit. He made me. I was limping on the sideline after seeing some of the hits that he took. You know what I'm saying? Like, so yeah. I don't like. If I'm his teammate, I'm not irritated. If anything, I'm pissed off because I know I'm getting my quarterback hit. You know what I'm saying? Like, if anything, I'm more motivated to make sure that my quarterback stays upright, especially if I'm the one that caused, you know, that pain because I gave up a sack, you know, in terms of Karan Amagaji. Like, it's tough. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not going to say it's irritating. You know, they're not showing the body language in terms of when he's up at the press conference, taking accountability for his play, his lack of making plays, his overthrows. You know, he's up there holding himself accountable. They don't show his body language then. You know what I mean? So show the whole story. That's my thing. Tell the whole story. If you're going to sit here and say that, you know, Caleb's acting some type of way in the game, like the man's a stand-up guy. He takes accountability for all of his mistakes, and he sits up there, and if he makes a mistake, he puts it on display. He stands up with his chest. He addresses the media each and every day. So tell the whole story. I mean, dude's getting hit. I understand. Yes, why is he laying on the bench? Because he's in pain. That's why. He's getting hit. How many times? 58 sacks. 58.
Yeah.
I mean, it's different. You know, Acho played linebacker. I played fullback. You know what I mean? We get a chance to hit back. But I've never just stood there and let somebody come off the line full speed and hit me. You know what I'm saying? So tell the whole story. No, you want to sit there and say that, hey, you know, and we've been hit. We've all taken hits. Yeah, but I've gotten an opportunity to run up somebody and initiate contact as well. Now, whether or not I deliver most of the brunt of that contact or I take the brunt of that contact, I've had an opportunity to exert force at the same time. You know, he's getting blindsided. He's playing quarterback, so it's a different type of hit. He's taking hits, and we were delivering hits. You know what I mean? So you got to tell those stories. So it's just another way it is what it is. The Bears are the laughing stock of the league right now. The Bears are the brunt of every joke in the league right now. The Bears are every bad click in terms of the NFL when you're talking about the game right now. So it's just more to talk about, more to click on, you know, more to trash the Bears and more to downgrade the Bears. But at the same time, it's deserved because of the way we're playing. We're on an 8-game losing streak. Guys aren't playing well. Guys are talking about each other in the media. Guys are talking about, I'm just going to do my job, and I'm in a leadership role, but I'm just going to do my job and not worry about anybody else. Like, it's disaster right now. Like, I've never seen it this bad. It's really bad right now.
No, 100%. And here's the one thing that I'll say, right? It's, I get it, right? Everybody takes hits, and that's how Acho kind of wants to clarify. And the only person up there that I say can understand or can sympathize maybe where Caleb Williams is coming from and really can have a conversation on this is Chase Daniels, because I say this. Yeah, it was tough for Chase here in Chicago as well. He had some good moments. He had a lot of moments where he was laying on that ground just like Caleb Williams was. But in your first NFL season where we want to talk about, well, you're not, you know, in college anymore, he is now the 13th most sacked quarterback of all time. If this trend continues, he probably finishes around 4 and/or 3 behind David Carr twice and Randall Cunningham back in 1986, all in their rookie seasons. This is not I'm getting hit. This is not you're getting banged up in a game. This is historically bad sack numbers that Caleb Williams is going to go through. This is historically things that other quarterbacks in this NFL, you cannot say have experienced the same thing and have been able to come out on the other side. So excuse Caleb Williams if he has to go out there and roll around for a second to try and get himself back up. Like, I think that it's this is the one thing that I like about being local and we can focus in. While, yes, sometimes, you know, you get lost in the moment, you get too locked in, you can see everything that's happening. I've seen the 9-sack games. I've seen the 7-sack games. I've watched every one of those games. And I get it, Emmanuel. You're not watching these games, Acho. You want to know why? Because why the F would you watch the Chicago Bears week in and week out? Let's be real.
Here's the thing.
Why would you do that if you're national? But you can't sit here and tell the story without telling the whole story. And the whole story is this young man is about to become one of the most sacked quarterbacks in 100+ years of the NFL. And that's why it may take him a little bit longer to get up off the ground.
And let's put another chapter in the story since we're telling it. You know, here's a guy who's been sacked already 58 times, have taken some crazy hits this year, but has he missed a game? He's been in. He hasn't come out. He's been in. He gets back up, lines back up. He doesn't blame the O-line. He doesn't come out in the media and say, my O-line is bad. You know, the protection was bad. We didn't block anybody. You know, he takes it on the chin, and some of it's his fault, too. And he acknowledges 100%. That. He acknowledges that. But the one thing that we can't question is his toughness because he's still in the lineup. I mean, he's taking some shots where I thought, like, man, I don't know if he's going to be okay after this one. But guess what? He's right back in that huddle, right? He's still standing in that pocket. He's still trying to make plays for his team. And he's a rookie. You know what I mean? And that's if there's one thing that one box that we can check off about, did we get it right with Caleb Williams? It's the toughness category. I would say that. That's for sure.
Yeah, 100%. Like to me, to even question Caleb's toughness, and I've seen like now all the Twitter warriors are out and they want to say, you know, we got this wrong. This wasn't the right pick. And this is, you got to question the toughness of this kid. Is he mentally tough enough for this game? He's mentally tough because he's going back out there.
Yeah.
I watched a young man this season in his second year take himself out of a football game because he was tired.
Yeah. I mean, it's
at the goal line.
Yeah. And here's the thing, man. Like this league, it's so funny and it's all about development, right? Let's talk about the quarterback position, right? It's about development. It's about the right fit. It's about having, you know, especially a quarterback, about having the right offensive coordinator, obviously, but also having the right quarterback coach, right? Perfect examples this year, Sam Darnold, right? Everybody's talking about he's finished, went from team to team, you know, former first-round pick, he's done, he's a bust. Well, guess what? he's killing the game right now. You know what I mean? I mean, he's killing the game right now. I mean, he's got that Vikings team, you know, in the lead in the NFC North right now. Career's revitalized. He got with Kevin O'Connell, a guy who's played quarterback, an offensive coordinator that understands his skill set and puts together a game plan in which, you know, Sam Darnold can go out there and execute. Plus, I mean, it doesn't hurt. You got Jordan Addison and Justin Jefferson and TJ Hawkinson and a good run game, but it's all about the fit. It's about the fit. He's in a good fit, right? Same thing. Talk about Baker Mayfield, another example. So you just don't think I'm throwing names out there. You just don't think I'm just out here trying to get clicks, right? Baker Mayfield, proof's in the pudding. Baker Mayfield was on the Cleveland Browns team. He was playing defensive end on the scout team. Well, guess what? Baker Mayfield has the Tampa Bay Bucks leading NFC South right now, right? He got opportunity, got a second chance. Now his career is revitalized because now he's in a system in which he can thrive. It's all about fit, right? So what's wrong here in Chicago, right? We got a young quarterback in which, yeah, we built the infrastructure up around him in terms of on the perimeter, right? We brought in Swift, we brought in Keenan Allen, you resigned DJ Moore, but guess what? You didn't fortify the heartbeat of the offense, which is the offensive line. And we thought that Caleb Williams was so generational, and we thought that his talents would offset the deficiencies we had in the offensive line, right? Yeah. And now we're seeing the same thing that we saw last year with the other quarterback, Justin Fields, right? We just thought that his athleticism could make up for the deficiencies. We're naive to address the problem. And I'm not just saying the problem is just offensive line. It's a lot of things, but everything starts up front, and we talked about it. Starts up front defensively, starts up front offensively, right? Why has the defense gotten worse since even you know, it's regressed since, you know, under Coach Flus, right? Because they can't stop the run. They lost Andrew Billings. They can't stop the run. Now they can't cover. Why can't they cover? Because it's not adequate pass rush for, you know, to get home on a quarterback, making the DBs cover even longer. And it's just disaster. So, you know, let's tell the whole story.
Yeah, 100%. And I think it's okay to point out Caleb's flaws. Listen, I came on here 2 days ago and I pointed out, no, yesterday on the podcast, and I pointed out, listen, Caleb Williams has to get better at holding on to the football and looking for the deep shot. There are times where the sacks are on him. Yeah. I'm not sitting here and saying that 58 sacks are all on Caleb Williams. But when we sit here and we watch what has happened again and again and again, and we go, well, why did this quarterback all of a sudden become gun shy to pull the trigger on a short route that was right in front of his face? Because he's seeing ghosts. He's trying to avoid being hit because he's been hit so many times this season. Oh, my goodness. It's not like we've ever seen that before. David Carr. It's not like we've ever seen that before. Justin Fields. It's not like we've ever seen that before. Mitch Trubisky. Like it's I love the fact that we think that Caleb Williams is so amazing that he can overcome what just about no quarterback has overcome. And I will say this as well. The one thing for me with Caleb that I think has to improve if you're going to survive this, because I can't guarantee that Ryan Poles is going to get it right next season with the offensive lineman. He's got one good offensive lineman out of seven signings and draft picks over the 3 years he's been here that looks like he can actually play football. And I got some questions on him as well. But if we're being honest, everyone wants to compare him to Joe Burrow. One thing Joe Burrow don't do, when Ja'Marr Chase open, he don't miss.
Yeah.
Maybe a couple times, right? Maybe you see one or two overthrows, but it's not every single game we go, that should have been a touchdown.
Yeah.
So I'm okay criticizing Caleb Williams. But it can't be because, and I feel like there's two sects of fans that have popped up now. There are the fans who are still upset that Justin Fields was traded away and are upset that now you didn't win 10 games. You didn't do better than Justin Fields. You didn't outperform Justin Fields, even though he's already done that by breaking the rookie passing record, breaking the rookie touchdown record, breaking all of these rookie records that the Chicago Bears hold. I get it, low bar, but he has done it. And nobody else has done it since Chuck and Charlie O'Rourke down the right sideline back in 1941. You know what I mean? Nobody's done it since then. So, but to me, this group has developed that wants to hold that against Caleb. And so they refuse to see that he's clearly a better passer, that he's already put up more 300-yard passing games, that he can go out there and give you the game-winning drives and put you in a position to win the games. Not to say Justin didn't have those moments. I think that just in a rookie season, we can say that. And then there's that we can say you're more comfortable with that. And then there's this other side where you just want Caleb to fail because you wanted the haul.
Yeah.
And that side to me, your ire shouldn't be at Caleb. Your ire should be at Ryan Poles. And I think that's okay to say as well, because here's what I've said all season. You drafted Caleb Williams. You drafted Rome Odunze. What stops you from trading back into the second round and going and getting Jackson Powers Johnson? You don't want to trade back into the second round and go get Jackson Powers Johnson? What stops you from signing Tyler Biazza? What stops you from signing Connor Williams? I understand that he retired, but you know what looks a lot better? Hey, we signed a starting center that was very capable, and then something personal happened and he retired. We can't see that coming.
Yeah.
What stops you from addressing the offensive line issues this offseason? Because it wasn't money. Wasn't draft capital. It wasn't opportunity, because you could have traded back into the second round of this draft and picked up a couple of offensive linemen. Or you could have not drafted a punter and taken Cedric Van Pran. And yeah, that's a project, but at least it's a project that has been on the field. Oh, by the way, you also could have saved $8 million that you spent on DeAndre Swift and drafted Garendo if you wanted, were so gung-ho on using that fourth round pick. Or drafted Bucky Irving.
Yeah.
Like, I understand you're upset that we didn't get the haul. I get it. I wanted the haul. I was that guy. But it feels like these two groups have popped up that just, they're so focused on anything that Caleb Williams does wrong, it's all on him, and they're not giving him the same leeway that we all said, let's give Justin Fields that same leeway, because we saw what he went through last season.
Yeah, and, you know, another thing, too, it's you got to look at it in terms of, you know, Caleb, it's when we're talking about Justin and Caleb, right? It's we're looking at Justin from last year, which was what, his fourth year, fifth year,
third year.
So it's not a fair comparison, because this is Caleb's rookie year.
Yeah.
So if we want to compare it, let's get a placeholder and place it on Justin's third year, and then let's see where Caleb is his third year, then compare, because that's a fair comparison. You know what I'm saying? I don't know, man. It's just getting the right infrastructure to be successful, right? And it's not just the quarterback's going to – we thought we'd get a quarterback to come in, just change the whole dynamic. Well, guess what? There's still a lot of holes on this team, and we've seen that. And we've seen that throughout the season. We've seen it, you know, there was holes in coaching mistakes. There was holes in players. You bring – like, even this game, I mean, you got all of a sudden – it just doesn't make sense. Like, Braxton Jones – You show concussion symptoms 2 days before the game. Like, it just make sense. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I understand Kieran Amagaji had a bad game and everybody wants to just throw him under the bus. But at the same time, I mean, yes, you got to prepare like you're a starter in this league, but he didn't play in training camp. You know what I mean? They don't practice.
I would assume. But I would assume he probably didn't practice this week either, Jamie. I mean, the concussion popped up
either
Friday.
Either way, he didn't have enough snaps anyway. You know what I'm saying? Like, he didn't play in training camp. You didn't play in preseason. You don't even practice in pads. And then all of a sudden, you expect him. You got to put in who you have. But we expected him to be successful at left tackle on the road in Monday Night Football in a hostile environment. You can't hear anything. Like, and then, you know, the game plan. And, you know, I think Thomas Brown's a really good coach, but I question some of the game plan. I mean, a lot of times you're going five-man protection, but the route concepts don't dictate you getting the ball out quick. And then Detroit, when you are trying to get the ball out quick, they did a good job of making sure that they had guys under the quick game, under the quick pass that you're trying to throw by dropping DNs. They would drop one DN, they drop both DNs. So that way, if Caleb did try to get that ball out quick, well, guess what? You can't because it's covered. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, when I look at Kieran Amagaje, why am I leaving him one-on-one with the defensive end? You know what I mean? You got to put the tight end over there. Put a back over there. Have the back chip. You know what I'm saying? And it's slide the protection towards him. You know, help him out. And I understand there's going to be some times where we can't babysit the guy and we can't protect him the whole game. We got to pick our spots when we can leave him one-on-one. But exactly, in critical situations, right, third down situations, because you were 1-for-12 on third down, you may have to help him on third downs in a hostile environment. All right. You know, another thing, it's fourth and the first fourth down, the call of the game, you go toss to your rookie left tackle. You know what I mean? And granted, it's fourth and one. Like, we're on the road and we want to be a team that wants to get off the skid. We got to get 1 yard. We have to get 1 yard. Like, that's the mindset that you got to have. Like, we got to get 1 yard. It's fourth down. Now, I don't agree with the call that early in the game. Luckily, the defense bailed you out because they got to stop. But, I mean, it's just been in, you know, we know what else happened in that game. But
nothing else.
Exactly. It's just a lot. It's just a lot right now. You know, it's a lot. You know, we talk about the same thing. We've been talking about the same things for 8 weeks, right? Lack of execution, lack of leadership, coaching questions. That's what's going to happen when you're a bad team. You know, bad football teams find a way to lose. Good football teams find a way to win, right? Look at the Kansas City Chiefs. How many close games have they won this year, right? They're a good football team. They find a way to win, you know, and we'll see what happens this week. Detroit's a good football team, missing a lot of pieces on defense. You know, they just lost to a tough Buffalo team, but they've been finding a way to win all season despite all the injuries. And they got 22 guys on IR. Like, come on. But they're finding a way to win. Good football team.
Yeah, it's called the right culture. And the one thing that I'll say, listen, to put a footnote on this point, I guess, or an exclamation point on this point, because when I hear stuff like this, it reminds me of the conversations that we were all having last season. And all I would say is I hope Bears fans are looking at this situation this season and giving the grace that they begged for Justin Fields to get last season. I understand it.
Yeah.
I wanted Justin to be here. But Justin's not here anymore. And you've got a young man who unfortunately was put in the exact same position.
Yeah.
And it sucks. But, like, that doesn't mean that you turn on this young man. That doesn't mean that you throw him out to the wolves. Because if we're talking numbers for numbers, give me Caleb Williams over Justin Fields passing wise all day. If you want to look at the wins portions of it, I mean, Justin wasn't out there for three of the wins. You know what I mean? Like the conversation, and again, I think Justin would have done better with a better team around him. Just like I think Caleb would do better if he had a starting center, if he had a real left tackle, if you're not piecemealing it together. And listen, that to me, I said it week two of this season. This season's going to fall at the feet of Ryan Poles, and now it really is. There's a lot of the dogs are at the door for Ryan Poles, and they ain't in there yet, but they scratching heavily, and they trying to get their way in because, realistically speaking, you set your rookie quarterback up. The three biggest sins that Ryan Poles made coming into this season. Number one, you thought Caleb Williams was Jesus Christ with a football.
Yeah.
Number two, you believed that you could bargain shop on the offensive line and that was going to be fine because the opportunity for you to go out there and get good offensive linemen that we're still watching right now was there for you and you ignored it. And number three, you overvalued the pieces that you had on this team already, namely Nate Davis. There's a lot of belief. And the reason I point to him is because if you have when he's on the field and is engaged and wants to do it, he's a talented right guard.
Yeah.
If you have a talented right guard next to your talented right tackle that can help a struggling center a long way. If you have that with a solid left guard and a left tackle that, while I think Braxton Jones is always going to be pushed backwards, I can't sit here and tell you that every single play he's on the field, he is a human mannequin that's being thrown around. That would lead you to believe that you have four of the five pieces right and you can kind of stumble your way through this season. But you had belief in a guy that you should have never had belief in, who gave you no belief in the beginning, and who showed you the entire time during training camp, I don't want to be here, but y'all paid me so much money, I might as well stick around.
Yeah, it's been and I think now you look at it in terms of the locker room, you know, the mindset of all the guys, you know, and I talked to these guys after the game and I asked them, you know, what's the mindset? What's the mood in the locker room? How's the preparation gone through? You know, how has the preparation gone throughout the week? You know, how did preparation go in terms of the game plan? And they're going to give you positive answers, but I know it isn't peachy. I know it isn't rosy. I know guys are questioning themselves. I know some guys have probably packed it in. I mean, it's tough. It's draining. You know, physically, you are, you know, day in and day out, you're watching film. You're out there. You're giving it your all. You're not getting the results. It's human nature. You're going to start, you know, second guessing yourself. You're going to start looking at the teammate and say, did he give up? You know, are my teammates giving up? And that's what we're starting to see. You know, we're starting to see guys, as soon as they score, I see body language on the sideline. You know, it's guys are down. You know, the belief isn't there. You know, they didn't have and it's tough because, you know, it started with Coach Flus making, you know, coaching mistakes or you know what I'm saying, going through things in terms of coaching situations and not being successful in critical situations, right? But now you have guys, you know, back then before he got fired, looking at the coach like, you know, if we play well, what is the head coach going to do? You see what I'm saying? So now he's in question. So then he gets fired. You're bringing a new guy, whole new dynamic, new defensive coordinator. You know, the offensive coordinator goes to head coach, but he's still the offensive coordinator. A lot of confusion, a lot of moving parts. And guys know that this whole thing is dysfunctional. So their question, you know, it's hard, man. But at the same time, you know, it's the young guys on this team, not even the young guys, everybody on this roster besides the guys who you know is going to be here regardless because they got contract extensions and they're, you know, foundational pieces of this team. But the guys who aren't in that situation, you know, those are the guys right now that have to go out there and make sure they're playing well. They got to make sure they have solid tape, right? Not just to be on this Bears team next year or have the option or possibility to be on this Bears team, but to be in the NFL next year. Because when that new coach comes in here or new GM or Poles as a GM, everybody's going to be evaluated, right? And they're going to look at it and say, okay, when we were on an 8-game losing streak, did this second-year guy, did this third-year guy, you know, did this fringe player guy pack it in? Or was he still going out there playing 100 miles an hour, balls to the wall, you know what I'm saying? And you know, trying to help us become a part of the solution and not the problem. And that's the mindset that these young guys got to have. I've been in a situation before. You know, my first year here, Dick Geron was here, and we were terrible. And, you know, I was a young guy. So, you know, we're losing. I'm out there on special teams. I'm running down on kickoff, and I'm on kickoff return like it's a Super Bowl because I'm trying to be here next year. I know we're going to get a new coach, and I'm young. You know, my spot's not solidified. I didn't get a contract extension. And, you know, a lot of guys are in that same situation. And that following year, Lovie Smith came in here. And then, you know, the same thing, the script flips because you got a new coach. But guess what? The grind doesn't because I still got to impress Lovie Smith now to make sure I'm one of the guys that he wants on his football team. So that's the situation that a lot of these guys are in right now. I mean, that's the situation. Yes, we're not going to the playoffs, but guess what? I'm going to the playoffs because I've got to make sure that I'm – here, I got to make sure I have good tape, right? And the better I play as an individual, the better it is for the team, the better the team will be. So I can't pack it in. But if I'm in a leadership role, and I know we're going to get to this, if I'm in a leadership role, I have to continue being a leader. I can't just say, well, you know, yes, I got to play well because I'm a leader, but I still have to do everything that I can from a leadership standpoint to help continue to elevate the guys around me. I can't just say I'm a leader, but hell, I'm not worried about you. I don't care what you do no more. Season's bad. 8-game losing streak. I got to worry about my shit, blah, blah, blah. I understand that it's frustrating, but at the same time, you're a leader. You've been put in that position. You may have that senior chest. You may not. You may be a guy that's been in the locker room for a long time. You've got to be the example. You've got to set the standard, and you have to continue bringing them guys around you each and every day, each and every rep in practice. Like, it may be sometimes where the coach isn't going to do it. You have to sit there and say, hey, we screwed that play up. Run it back. We're running it again. That's leadership. That's how it goes. That's the pedigree of a winning football team.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting, right, as we continue on, hit that like button, subscribe to the page, leave a five-star review, y'all know what to do. I think it's very interesting when you hear Cole Kmet's comments after the game, kind of alluding to what you just said there, where basically he was the one who kind of said, you know, listen, we're trying to find answers, but when everybody doesn't want to get up and go to work and put in the same level of effort, there's not much you can do except focus on your own work and go out there and do your job the right way. And while it's tough, and I agree with you, I think you have to continue to be that leader. I have seen some of the moments in the locker rooms. I saw one last week, and I'm not going to say who the player was, but you know, it was a blow up. It was a under the breath. Like, I don't know if the rest of the media room heard it. Everybody was in there, but they were kind of focused on Jalen Johnson. I think they were doing a post game interview there, but or not a post game, a locker room interview there, and this player he wasn't happy. Wasn't happy with the situation, wasn't happy with the usage, wasn't happy about it, and he was vocalizing it. And, you know, it was one of those things where it was like, oh, okay, I kind of get that. I see it. Okay. And then you see the effort on the field, you see the looks on the field, and you go, okay. And you just have to tuck that away and go, okay, so the dissension is in there. This locker room, there are players in this locker room who are done. There are players in this locker room who essentially have one foot on the field, as you've said, and one foot on the sand. And that makes it difficult. And I'm sure it does make it difficult if you're Cole Kmet trying to get everybody to go about this business in the same manner. I'm sure it does make it difficult if you're Jalen Johnson or you're Montez Sweat and you're trying to get everybody to go as hard as you are. But it visibly looks like there are more players on this team who have one foot in the sand than aren't. And I think that two questions instantly pop up in my brain. Number one, is the culture of this team that they said that they had all fake? And number two, can we really say that Ryan Poles has built this elite roster when I said it the other day, J-Mac, I think he's got the singles. He's got the hits. He's got the big radio plays.
Yeah.
But he can't put together an album. Yeah. And that's where I'm starting to get a little bit concerned with this Bears football team.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, we're talking about leadership. I understand, you know, everything you're saying about, you know, in terms of Cole and where he's at. And I know he's frustrated. It's tough. But if you had a strong culture to begin with and you had solid leaders in which when those leaders spoke, people would listen, right, because those leaders were doing everything right. Those leaders were putting in the extra work. They were the example. Right. But they also their play did the talking, but the way they prepare and everything they do was the example. Then you'd have guys follow regardless if you're on an 8-game loser streak. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like the culture is the culture. The leaders are the leaders. And when the leaders speak, the standard is the standard. The standard is the standard. Right. Mike Tomlin, the standard is the standard. Right. If those guys, if the leadership was so, you know, solidified and that culture was so great, then it doesn't matter if you're on an 8-game losing streak. If you're on an 8-game losing streak, if you have a good culture and you have that good brotherhood, well, the bond would be tighter because you're facing adversity, right? And when you're facing adversity, right, as a family, you bond together. You become tighter. We're not going to let the outside noise or the naysayers, you know, tear us down. We're going to stick together. We're going to go out here and we're going to finish this thing the right way. If the culture was strong to begin with, if you had those leaders that people was listening to begin with, right? Yeah. And I can only go off of that based upon, you know, the teams that I played under here, right? We went through some losing streaks, but guess what? The brotherhood never changed. Did we get in arguments? Hell yeah. Did we cuss each other out? All the time in the huddle. But guess what? We went out there and we busted our ass and we played hard. Yeah. You know what I mean? And were we always successful? No. We got our ass kicked a lot of games, and some games we won. But at the same time, you know, if that culture slipped, we had leaders that was right there to make sure that culture went right back to the level it needed to be. And I think that's, you know, that's, it's hard. It really is. 8-game losing streak. I've never been on an 8-game losing streak. So I can't sit here and say that I know what it feels like. But I know one thing. If you're a leader on this team, you got to continue being a leader. You got to continue to do your best to galvanize this locker room.
And you know what, J-Mac? Like, I feel for guys like Cole and Jalen.
I do, too.
I thought about it yesterday. They've never had a season without a losing streak.
Yeah.
In their careers, they have never had a season without at least, I believe, now I haven't gone back and done the numbers, but I know we had losing streaks from, we haven't had a losing streak since 2018. In their careers, I don't believe they've had less than a 6-game losing streak every single season.
And it's tough, you know, like there's guys like Jalen Johnson, you know, things that the fans don't see is he's one of the hardest working guys on this roster.
Absolutely.
Training camp, he's always the last guy off the field.
Absolutely.
Pre-game warm-up, he's always the last guy off the field with the DB coach, Coach Hoke. Always the last guy, right? You can say what you want to say. He comes into the game looking like Frank Lucas. That was a bomb outfit he had on.
That was fire. I'm not going to lie. The jacket was fire.
I was jealous.
Let's be real. Let's be real. Balled out. I know it was a loss.
Yeah, he balled.
But when he was on Justin Jefferson wasn't getting that rock.
But he's one of the hardest working guys on the roster. You know, John Hoke, the defensive backs coach. We talk all the time. He was a coach here during my time with the Bears. So before the game, me and him sit there, we talk, we reminisce. You know, he talks about what's going on. You know, he wears his emotions on his sleeve because he's so passionate about this team. You know, like I told you before, Pat, after that Hail Mary game, the next game, I'm sitting on the Bears bench pregame. Coach Hoke comes up next to me and sits down. He says, "You know what, J-Mac? I'm sorry." I'm like, "Coach, what are you talking about? What are you sorry for?" "I'm sorry because that last game was embarrassing." Yeah. He's like, I apologize to you. He said, "I want to apologize to Peanut Tillman. I want to apologize to all the guys that came in here before because that's not Bears football." Like, he wears it with his sleeve. Like, and Jalen Johnson is another guy that he's giving maximum effort in terms of leading by example, right? He's all, like I said, he's going to be one of the hardest working guys. And we saw it for ourselves, Pat, training camp. After practice, what's he doing? He's got the young guys over there. He had Terrell Smith. He had Tyreek Stevenson over there after every single practice. Him and Kyler Gordon's over there too. You know, so it's continuing to push forward because you never know. You can go out and win these next three games, and that can be the basis of a breakout season the following year. It happened to us. You know, Lovie's first year, 5-11. You know, and we finished the season strong, and guess what? Bam. That led into us going into the playoffs, right? Then we lost to the Carolina Panthers. Boom. Had a sour taste in our mouth, came back, and that led us going to Super Bowl. You never know what's going to be the start of you just turning things around.
You know what's funny about that game, the Panthers game, this is such a sidebar, but what year was that? Was that
02? 05, 2005.
That was 05. That was 05. So that's like me starting to really like dive heavily into football.
Yeah.
And because I was a basketball kid. I loved everything basketball. But that was like the beginning of like, okay, like Bears, you know, when I grew up, it wasn't great. So like you watched them on Sunday, but you kind of don't pay attention. And I remember looking at my dad and I was like, "That's all right. We'll get them in game two." And my dad looked at me and was like, "Ain't no game two, dog." I was like, "What?" Hey. And I bust out crying. Yeah, I was like, man. That was it. That's how I get to the next season. Then, of course, y'all go to the bowl. I'm the happiest kid in the world. I'm locked in on Bears for the rest of my life.
But if we didn't have that failure, right? And remember, we were the second seed in the NFC, so we had a first-round bye. We beat Carolina earlier in the regular season, right? And then we beat them in the regular season, and obviously we lost to them in the playoffs, but we had a bye, and it hurt to a core because it was at home. It was the first playoff game in Soldier Field for a long time. You know what I mean? And that hurt. If we didn't have that failure, guess what? We would have never went to the Super Bowl the next year. Never.
Facts. The worst part about it was I spent the next like, I don't know, probably 4 or 5 years hating Steve Smith because he was talking trash after the game too. I was so mad. Like, what did he say? Did he say, like, he was like, "What are you going home to have for dinner?" He's like, "Roasted peanuts or something like that." He's taking shots at Peanut Tillman. I was like, I hate this dude.
I think it was a go route. He caught it down our sideline, and I'm standing right there. And it took everything in my soul not to just hit him, like, as he's running down.
Not the Tomlin? You want the Tomlin in a little bit?
I wanted to do worse than Tomlin. I wanted to just clothesline him as he's running down the sideline. He was a beast, though, man. He was
a monster.
Yeah, he was a monster.
I ain't gonna lie to you. Like, it was so funny. I remember, like, being a kid and, like, just hating this man. And then, like, I actually started watching this game. I was like, he kind of cold, bro. I ain't gonna lie to you. Like, I know what he did, but we went to the Super Bowl the next year. I can get over it after this. Yeah.
But it's like you never know what failure you need to help turn things around. You don't know what failure you need to catapult you into some greatness. And, you know, that loss enabled us to go to the Super Bowl because guys was pissed off. We were embarrassed. And I can remember normally, you know, I would take time off after the season to heal my body up. I took probably a week off and I was right back in the gym. I was working out. I was because, you know, I was upset. You know, and as an individual, you know, man, we didn't do it. We didn't achieve our goal. So I let my team down, you know, and guys felt the same way. So that's what helped us go to the Super Bowl the next year. That hunger, that fire, that embarrassment. You know,
let's finish it out with this, J-Mac, because I think you guys' situation is a good one. Because like you said, you had Dig Jerome, Lovie Smith comes in, everything changes.
Well, we were
and it took time for everything to change. It took time for everything to change.
Yeah.
But are the Chicago Bears a head coach away? I know there's still holes on this roster, but the entire season, the last two seasons, me and you especially, have come in here 7 times. And we've said, yes, there were struggles, but this coaching decision cost you the game. This decision in crunch time cost you the game. Are the Chicago Bears a coach away from not making those decisions, not screwing over his own team in crunch time, away from being the franchise that we thought they could be coming into the season?
I think they're a head coach and a coaching staff away, right? You look at the head coach, he's the head, but all the other, you're going to be around your position coach more than you are the head coach.
Yeah.
So, and I say coaching staff because of this, right? The NFL is about development. I don't have a chance to go out there and all 53 of my guys are all first round picks, all Pro Bowlers, all future Hall of Famers. No.
Yeah.
You're going to have to count on everybody on this roster at some point in the season and guys on the street, right? We see that right now with the Detroit Lions, right? They're going to come up in here with a patchwork defense, guys that get off the street. But here's the thing. I've got to make sure that my coaches have the ability to, one, put our players in position to make plays, regardless of if they were a first-round pick, seven-round pick, free agent, or got off the street. Two, the development has to take place. So when I have guys that are on the lower tier of this roster or guys that's on the practice squad or guys that are just backups, I've got to make sure that I'm developing them the same way that I'm developing, that I'm coaching this starter, because they're going to have to contribute at some form of the season. It's a long season. Injuries are going to happen. I have to make sure they're ready so that way there's no drop-off. And if you look at the NFC North, and this is what separates what has separated the Bears from being one of the better teams to some of the better teams in the NFC North, right? And I hate talking about that team up north, but they do a good job of it, right? We talk about it. Well, why didn't they re-sign that pass rusher? Season starts. Oh, now I see why. But where did he come from? Dude was on the practice squad. Then he went from the practice squad to special teams, where he was a dog on special teams. When he got his opportunity, he seized the moment. Why? Because he's been developed the whole time, and the scheme allows him to go out there, play fast, and use his God-given talent, but also use the ability that he's been coached. Use the talent and the development in terms of the way he's been coached. And that's the problem I see here. The development has not taken place.
J-Mac, are you saying when you watch a guy not develop, your offensive lineman, maybe you shouldn't promote him to run game coordinator? I'm asking for a friend, J-Mac. I'm asking.
Man, hey,
are you telling me that if you watch an offensive line not be able to snap the football and block, that maybe you shouldn't make that guy a run game coordinator the next season? Not a concept, J-Mac.
So let's talk about
breaking stuff, brother.
So let me get to your point, right? Development takes place in the weight room as well. If I've got a lineman that looks like an upside down Dorito because he's big up top and he's narrow at the bottom, well, he may not be able to withstand a bull rush. You see what I'm saying? Development takes place in the weight room as well. That's the most important piece, because you got to be physically able to execute my scheme, right? Go, okay,
upside down Dorito. There,
you see?
Not. Listen, it's better than what I said. I said wisdom tooth. Big upper part, little
but you know the Dorito is upside down triangle.
I get you.
But it's true though. It's like, okay, now it goes back to, okay, I know who I'm blocking. He's bull rushing me, but I'm not physically strong enough to be able to stop that bull rush because I haven't got my ass in the weight room.
Yeah.
Right. I haven't done the squats. You know what I mean? I haven't put my body through that type of simulation in the weight room, that type of strain that I'm going to face on the field in the weight room.
That is the one part. That is the one part I wish that we could, not that we could see, because it is, it's too open now, right? But it is the one part for me where it's like, you know, I've watched Coleman Shelton all season. He knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
I hate to say it. You what? He knows what he's doing. He knows the scheme. He knows who he needs to block. He's pointing out the free rusher. He's pointing out fire. He knows everything he needs to know. He knows how to engage his man. Technique ain't bad, J-Mac. He's 6 feet tall, 299 pounds.
Is he strong?
It's not enough? Like, and I would assume if you know all of that, if you're studying your tape at that level, you're right. Probably not missing your weight room sessions. You're probably not shortcutting your reps in the weight room, right? It truly may just be, bud, you don't have the backside to be out there and be the starting center. And that, to me, goes back to the GM.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. It's, you know, and that, you're right. That's knowing the personnel, you know, knowing who you're signing, you know, knowing his limitations, you know. So it's a lot, man. It's like we said, there's a lot of things that, as we've seen year after year, and it's sad. It's a broken record. It's on repeat. It's the same bear song. You know, it's sad, man. And you got to find a way. You got to do something different, because the same cycle we've gone through, if we have the same process, we're going to get the same results.
Yeah.
And you've got to change the process. If you want to break the cycle, you got to make a change. Something different has to take place in order for this to change.
I got a few different ideas, but I don't think I can say any of them on this podcast. Hey, man, we appreciate y'all for tuning in and showing love. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page, leave a 5-star review. Y'all know what to do. For Jason McKee on the sidelines, y'all pray for J-Mac, man. Did you have a coat like Jalen Johnson? You made some good money in this league, dog. You got to get you a mink, my boy.
Nah, that's a chinchilla. You got to get you a mink. That's a chinchilla.
Was that chinchilla?
That's chinchilla.
Was that chinchilla?
When you buying chinchillas, that price tag has 6 zeros on that bag.
Hey, J-Mac. Never mind. Listen, I love you, my boy. Fullback money ain't getting you chinchilla.
Nah, I wouldn't even think about buying no chinchilla. That wasn't even my style, man. I'll come to the game in a sweatsuit. You know what I mean? I don't care.
Yeah, I feel you. Yeah, pull up one day just like that. Get a knockoff pure Siberian yak backside. That's how you do that. That's
LeBron Jalen, man. He was sharp. He was sharp, boy. I was like, woo, JJ. I see you, boy.
For Jason McKee, it's your boy, Pat the Designer. Back at it again. Y'all stay safe out there, Chicago. Bear down, one love. They don't love us back, but we love them. Peace.